So this year's lectionary is clearly not invested in your knowing this, but I think it's important to say that the gospel passage we just read from St. John's gospel is part of the encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus, the Pharisee, which is to say the learned religious leader, who comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness for a little bit of a late night theological chat. It's right before these words that we read today that Jesus says to Nicodemus that he must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. And don't worry, you didn't miss anything. We read that story last year during Lent. It's just a trick of the lectionary. In fact, this passage is really often chopped down and taken out of context, right? You've all seen John 3:16 on bumper stickers, signs at wrestling matches, torsos during football games, really regrettable or regrettable tattoos. We can laugh, but the truth is that this phrase has actually been used as a terrible cudgel often to condemn whatever self-righteous Christians have decided to hate this week. The irony being, of course, that it's immediately followed by John 3:17, which says that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save it. I don't know about you, but I haven't seen a lot of John 3:17 bumper stickers, though. It really makes me sad, and it also makes me wonder, why is it that we are so often concerned with proof texting Jesus, with taking him out of context and chopping him down, that we miss the full light, the full glory of God in Christ? Why is it that we are so afraid to look at the light of Christ, at the very fullness of Jesus? Why do we back away so often? As I preached way back before Lent even formally started, some of our inability to see Jesus is about our inability to confront darkness and to live with it. We're so afraid of it that we fill it with every bright and shiny thing we can, which makes the light of Christ harder and harder to see. But if we are looking for Jesus, if we are really searching like Nicodemus through that darkness for him, we will find that Christ's light is a different kind of light altogether. It is not the sterile, manufactured light of our distractions, but a different, a stronger, and a more compelling light. It's also not a light we can control quite so easily as our bright and shiny objects or our proof texting. The light of Christ is not a flashlight that you can shine wherever you need just a little extra illumination or exactly where you want to see. The light of Christ is more like a floodlight, a big, shiny halogen bulb which lays bare the entire world and is often incredibly unflattering. Because the light of Christ exposes us for all that we are, the good, the bad, the ugly, all the sins and scars of life. And sometimes we turn away from the light of Christ because we don't want to see what it will reveal. The scripture says people love the darkness. So the darkness sometimes feels safer. But indeed, as the gospel says too, it is not Jesus who condemns us. Jesus is not sent here to do that. Condemnation does not come through God. God so loved the world, that God sent her only son to be with us. But we condemn ourselves by turning away from God and by rejecting that gift. I think it's that instead of condemnation, conviction comes from God. Conviction, both yes, as a formal declaration of guilt, and conviction as a kind of firm belief you can build or rebuild a life on. Because here is the thing. Even at our most exposed, our most stripped down, at our least flattering angles, God does not see us, God does not know us, as simply those faults and imperfections. Once more, the premise of Jesus coming among us is of love, pure and unadulterated love. God meets us where we are, as St. Paul says in Ephesians, even when we are dead to all rights, God is there, but God is there with us. And God loves us wherever we are on the journey of faith. But God does not leave us where we are. God wants for us full and eternal life, which means that God wants more for us, wants better for us. Which, yes, often means that God wants more from us, wants better from us. God is seriously interested in repentance and amendment of life. But God wants that from us out of love, not out of contempt or out of pity. Some of our fear of the light of Christ is imposed not by God, but by the world. Because what the world has done is the world has told us that our identity, our very being, is determined not by the love of our Creator, but by our imperfections, by our faults. The world tells us this lie that when we do something bad, when we sin and fall short of the glory of God, which everybody does, the world tells us when we do that, we are bad. I'm drawing here on the distinction that modern secular saint, but faithful Episcopalian, Brené Brown makes between shame and guilt. Brown says that shame is this statement: I did something bad, so I am bad. And she says that if you think you're all bad, that means you think you're unworthy of love, you're unworthy of connection. And that is a terrible place to be as a human being. It drives all kinds of horrible behavior, drives us to fear and numbness. In other words, it drives us further and further into darkness. Shame leads to all kinds of self-destructive behavior, and often to behavior that is destructive of others. Shame also, from a theological standpoint, is incredibly self-centered and unproductive. And it makes the story all about me, right? How bad I am, how awful I am. Shame makes the theological claim that I have the ability to put myself beyond God's love. That is just bad theology. I do not have that ability because I am not God. Furthermore, if you think you're all bad with just no hope of change and woe is me, it leaves you no incentive to do better, no incentive to repent and to move forward. Guilt, however, is the knowledge that we have done something wrong. I've done wrong, but I'm not intrinsically bad, and I can recover from it. Guilt says I can change, I can apologize, I can try to do better next time. In a word, I can repent. I can seek reconciliation. I think it's an important difference, and not one that we often make. And the difference is this: God did not send Jesus in the world to shame us, but to liberate us from that way of life, to liberate us from the world that teaches us shame. In Jesus, God gives us another way to live. In Jesus, God opens the path to repentance and creates a bridge towards reconciliation. Now, traveling that road does mean, for most of us, a detour through the desert of sin, guilt, and repentance. But it doesn't mean getting bogged down in the swamp of shame. It doesn't mean leaving ourselves in this notion, in this falsehood, in this lie that the world tells us, that anyone is unworthy of God's love, that anyone is unworthy of connection, of salvation, or of grace. That is the darkness that Jesus came to cast out. A friend of mine recently gifted me with this idea, this reading of this scripture, that when Jesus says that we should come to him as little children, it doesn't mean coming to Jesus in ignorance or in helplessness. But it needs coming to Jesus without these false narratives, these ideologies, these power structures that the world puts upon us. It means unlearning what the world has taught us so that we can learn directly from Jesus. And that means learning that you, that everyone, the whole world even, the whole world is what the verse says, you are God's very beloved. And what if that is what it means to be born again? To be stripped of all the crap the world has put on you, and just to know and to rest in the idea that you are God's beloved. If we could understand that, what freedom would it be? We could free ourselves from shame. We'd be free to do the work of repentance and reconciliation. We would be free to step out of darkness. We would be eager even to walk into that horribly unflattering light of Christ and see ourselves how we really are. Because it's true, looking in that type of light is really, truly kind of scary. It reveals things that we wish would stay hidden, that we have worked to hide about ourselves and about the world. But it also reveals the truth that God is with us, that God so loved the world that God sent Jesus to be here with us in all of our sin and our doubt. And yes, even in our shame, but not so that we can wallow in it, but so we can be liberated from it. That kind of light, gazing into that kind of light, is deeply, deeply painful sometimes. It can sting as sharp as a snake's bite. But the truth is, it is also exactly what saves us, time and again, once and for all. Amen.